Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. Hi, this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 148. It's the week of February 5th, 2012. And I'm going to talk about the Charlotte Ultra Run in this episode. And actually, for me, it was the Charlotte Ultra Run that almost didn't happen. I had the week leading up to the race, I was diagnosed with bronchitis and got on some medication and didn't do any training all week. Made the trip down to Charlotte, North Carolina anyway, with the plan to just at least start the race and see what happens. But let me back up a little bit. The on Monday before the race is on a Saturday, February 4th, I started, you know, getting a cough, feeling kind of bad, and we had an incident happen at work which required several people to stay out late. And I got home about 1:30 in the morning on Monday night, early Tuesday morning, and was kind of jacked up. Had a hard time getting to sleep. Didn't get to sleep till about 3. Still had to get up at regular time to go in for regular work hours, which is 8. So I had about 3 hours of sleep and was really starting to feel bad at that point in time. And I just kept thinking to myself, well, all I'll do is I'll get through today and I'll go home, eat dinner, and take some NyQuil. And that'll be that, and I'll just reset for Wednesday. Well, I did that, and turns out I woke up Wednesday, and I pretty much felt the same, bad, had a cough, and just an overall lethargic feeling. You know, just didn't want to do anything. Of course, didn't train at all. Tuesday, I think I had a 7-miler I was supposed to do. Same thing Wednesday, came home, and just decided to just go to bed early again. Thinking I'd wake up Thursday and, you know, at least feel better. Well, Thursday I woke up and just I had to go to the doctor because I wasn't getting any better, and I knew I had the 50K coming up on the following Saturday, and I wanted to race it. I mean, I wanted to go out there and be a part of the event, as I had already made plans to visit a friend down in Charlotte for the evening after the race, and I'd already paid for my hotel room. So if there was any way I could get down there and at least start the race and do what I could to get in that mileage, then I was going to try to make it happen. So go to the doctor. I went to one of these little doc-in-a-box places, hoping to just get some medication and be on my way. And I ended up being there for 2 hours. They wanted to take chest x-rays. Doctor said she was worried about what was going on in my chest. They took x-rays, and she said, oh, well, you don't have pneumonia, but you have bronchitis. And she said she put me on 3 different types of meds, which she did. And let's see, I went to work Friday morning. My plan was to try to get out of work as early as possible Friday to make the 5-hour drive down to Charlotte from the center of the universe. And I felt a little better Friday, and I just knew that if I kept taking the medication come Saturday morning, I would probably feel well enough to go ahead and start the race. So that's what I did, and by a very nice stroke of luck, I was actually able to get out of work half day Friday and start the trip down to Charlotte, and I was able to get the packet pickup about 6:30, and they were doing that from 6 to 9. I had had made plans with Tim maybe to hook up Tim of the Ultra Quest podcast to meet up with him Friday evening, but when I was emailing with him back and forth week before last, I just didn't know what my Friday plans were going to be, so I couldn't really commit to anything. And I guess in some ways it was also a chance that, you know, I'd be coming in real late, and so my plan was to get in there about 8 o'clock, thinking I could probably get out of work by then. Not regular quitting time is 4 o'clock, so I was thinking, well, I could probably get out at least an hour early and get on the road and get down there by 8. So I wanted to get down there before I wanted to get my race number the night before and see if they had a map of the route and all that stuff. I don't like doing that the morning of. But I was able to get down there a little earlier, and by the time I hit the grocery store to get some supplies and picked up something to eat and got back to my, and then got checked into my hotel, it was about 8:30. So, and all in all, it worked out okay. Chilled out that evening and just pretty much scrutinized the weather channel to see how much rain was going to be falling on Saturday, because it was looking pretty dismal with the rain in the forecast. You know, continued to take the medication I was given. Woke up Saturday and felt back to normal. I still had a lingering cough, but everything, I just felt really good. Matter of fact, I think I fell asleep. I was watching that movie Dodgeball. It was pretty funny. And last time I looked at the clock was 10:48, and then I woke up at 3:30 in the morning completely wide awake. So I just kind of lied around for a little while, and I probably fell asleep again for a little while. But, you know, you never really get that, you know, once you fall asleep, once you wake up and then fall asleep again, you never have that full night. And I've always wondered, you know, when my little girl was a baby, and, you know, people would always ask us if she's starting to sleep through the night yet. And I said, no, she doesn't sleep through the night. She only sleeps for a couple hours. And then I read somewhere that if a baby sleeps for 5 hours in a row, that's considering sleeping through the night. And so that's about what I get without waking up. I get about 5 hours, and then I always wake up, and then usually I try to go back to sleep and get a little bit more. But anyway, woke up Saturday, felt good, got my gear together, repacked my bags for the weather, and I'm glad that I had brought a plastic bag to put over my gear bag, because it turns out all the people's drop bags for the 50K were not under any kind of shelter. Initially they were, but then it turns out that was actually the aid station for the at the finish line. It was a little bit strange, but you know, you can't expect to have a tent for your drop bags. But I was able to get a plastic bag that I brought from home, and to put my gear bag inside of that, at least to repel the water, and that worked out really good. The race it was a small race. It started behind a small Montessori school in Charlotte off of Mallard Creek Road. Very easy to find, no problems whatsoever. There was just lots of traffic the evening before when I was driving around trying to find, make sure I found everything. But the Saturday morning early, it was absolutely no traffic at all. Everything was really easy to find. Parking was perfect. I went and checked in, and they had a medical waiver. And I had to put an emergency number on there. Then they wanted my insurance and my policy number, and I had no idea what my insurance number was. So, and my wallet was in the car, so I just put none. First time I ever did something like that. And then, so anyway, they had a 10K. Now everybody started at once, and it was a chip race, and the 10K and the 50K runners all started together, and I was trying to kind of figure out who the 50K runners were going to be, just based on everybody standing around. It was a little bit of, the rain was sprinkling a little bit, but it was pretty easy to figure out who they were once, after the first hour, because all those people finished, and of course the 50K people kept going on. Now the course itself, of course, the race was called the Charlotte Ultra Run. It's got a website, and the course itself was on something, I think it was called the Charlotte Greenway or something to that effect, and it's a recreational path that is a combination of asphalt and gravel, and in some cases mud, that meanders through kind of like some right-of-ways, power line areas, stream, just kind of like undeveloped land in between you know, housing developments or whatever, that's kind of undevelopable, is that a word? Because that it's near a you know, big drainage areas where clearly in some areas you could see a lot of water cut through there. And it went under some overpasses, and it was a really cool recreational path. And what it was it was 5 10K loops. Now, if you had heard the show in previous episodes, you may have heard me talk about how disappointed I was when I realized it was not a 50K point to point, but it was a 50K out and back, out and back, out and back, out and back, or out and back times 5. Because the website wasn't really that clear on that at the beginning when I signed up. But then I kind of got over that, and I realized that that limits the need for any additional drop bags other than just your one at the start-finish, which is you know, where everybody goes out and back from. So that's what the course was, and they had check-in places at two aid stations along the way, and in the way this was good for me because I was able to actually see lots of other runners passing them passing me, and you kind of got an idea of who the 50K runners were, and then you could tell who was ahead of you and who wasn't. And I kind of did like that because it kept everything real concise, and the whole thing went by pretty fast. And I'll talk about my finishing time here in a few minutes. But about midway through the second loop, there was Tim from the Ultra Quest podcast waiting right there in the course. And, of course, he looked just like his profile picture on his podcast page. I think it's on Podbean. And I had texted him that morning. We had exchanged numbers over the course of the week. And I told him I thought I had the flu or something. And so when I got there that morning, I sent him a text and just said, hey, this is the clothing I'm wearing, so you can pick me out. And, he was right there on the course. And he ended up running finishing up the second loop with me and then running the third and the fourth loop. So he put in, I think, close to 15 miles, if I'm not mistaken. And he wasn't even planning to train that far. So it was, and I was joking with him that those miles that he ran with me and we talked were kind of the lost miles because it just went by so fast, chit-chatting and talking. And he helped me kind of stay on a pace that I was trying to maintain. And it was just really nice to have him out there and, you know, a chance to get to know him a lot better and maybe cross paths again. So, Tim, my hat's off to you for coming down there and doing that mileage with me and making the time go by so fast. I'm pretty convinced that I had such a good finishing time, probably because of your assistance. So I really do appreciate that very much. And so what I did with Tim was after the fourth loop, he was parked up at the school. And he went ahead and went on up, and then I just put in my iPod and did the last loop on my own with very little problem. I was my legs hurt. Of course, I'm sore today. I'm actually in the car now driving back. I'm about 2 hours from home, so I'm not quite in Virginia yet. I'm still in North Carolina. Well, I might have passed into Virginia. I'm not sure. Since I've been talking here, I haven't been really noticing the street signs. But I figured thought it'd be a good time to kind of recap the race. I lost my train of thought, but I ran the whole thing except for the end without my iPod and without anything. And that's not really my style. Usually I like to kind of plug in and tune out, mentally and just and do the distance. But in this case, for whatever reason, I think I met up with Tim between 10 and 12 miles, and I had just put it in when I saw him, so then I took it out and, of course, just kept it dangling while I was running with him, and so I didn't put it in until the end. And the funny thing about it is I had taken so much care before going down there to put on my iPod, shuffle the things I wanted to listen to that I thought would benefit me the most. And the funny part about it is I only needed to use really one of the podcasts, and I ended up listening to Tim's podcast there for the last hour. So let me talk about my finishing time. I had a personal best for the 50K distance, and very happy with that. It was 5 hours, 40 minutes, 52 seconds unofficially, and that bested a previous personal best in the 50K of 6 hours, 26 minutes, which I had done down at the Seashore Nature Trail three years ago, I think. Now, I've only done 350Ks of the actual distance. You could count, I guess, a fourth if you want to count the 8-hour endurance run I did where I was able to clear 50K in 8 hours. I couldn't go out again in that particular event because then I wouldn't be able to record the miles for the other loop. But it wasn't really a real spectacular thing by getting a personal best because the last time I kind of knew I would probably be able to get a personal best because the course was not muddy like the Seashore Nature Trail was when I ran that a few years ago. Of course, that was flat, but and this one was flat too. There was some mud on it, but it didn't ruin any shoes or anything, and it was a good route. And it did not really get that monotonous, I guess, because I was running with Tim, and I was distracted away from the course, and I kept passing the same people, and they're, you know, the same people were friendly and said hello, and other people didn't, and it's usually the same people that never say anything to you at all. You know, here you are in the middle of this, you know, an ultra race, you're all in it together, and you're the only two people passing out in the woods, and there's nobody else behind you or in front of you, and there's nobody behind the other person or in front of the other person, and they literally run past you and don't say a word. And to me, I just don't understand that. I really don't. And there was only a few people that did that. And, you know, most people just signal with their fingers or something. I just don't understand it. I don't understand why, what does it cost to say hello or good job or just, you know, do a hand signal just to acknowledge the existence of the other person. I always do that because, to me, it's courteous. But you always have those that, and one of them was the race leader. He didn't, I think the first time he might have said hello to Tim, but that was it. And, you know, I just don't understand why people do that. But anyway, I had a personal best, and it was an overall average of just under 11 minutes a mile. And this was really a test to see how I would do in 50K, because, you know, this is part of my training program for the 100K planned for March 10th down in the Outer Banks. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be able to run the 100K anywhere near as fast as this one, because I was done after 50K. I was tired. Yeah, I could have gone on if the finish line was not any farther, but part of me kind of wanted to see how long I could hang on and run the pace that I did. And what I did was ran a mile, walked a tenth, ran a mile, or, you know, ran 0.9, walked a tenth, ran 0.9, walked a tenth. And I pretty much stuck with that, with the exception of just past, I think, 25 miles. And it might have been when I had Tim with me still. I did maybe a couple minute extra walk breaks just to, just because it's just what I needed. But I stuck to that strategy as much as possible, and I'm convinced that that's what was able to give me the good finishing time. And I'm really proud of that time, because that might be about the fastest I can ever run a 50K. My marathon split was right at 4 hours and 46 minutes, which is right about what I ran the Richmond Marathon back in November. And that's right around what I ran my first marathon back in 2006. That's right about what I ran my first marathon at. So I was pretty pleased with that, because I didn't want to run the marathon too fast, and I didn't want to run a 5.5 hour marathon and then come in, you know, after 6 hours. I was trying to make 6 hours. That was I thought that was a reasonable goal. I didn't really say anything about that, I don't think, in the podcast. Obviously, when you go out there and the course looks like it might be a little bit easier, you want to try to best your previous 50K. But you can't really compare 50K courses like you can marathon courses, or it's the old cliche, you know, it's not apples to apples, it's comparing apples and oranges. You really can only compare your times on the same course, because 50K courses are going to be different. I mean, the first one I did was the Swinging Bridge 50K, and that was all hills and trail and creeks, and that was just a disaster of a day, because they started at -2 degrees Fahrenheit. Then the second one I did, of course, was the Seashore Nature Trail, which was just a mud run, and then this third one here was in the rain, had its own obstacle there, but I was able to pull out a real good time, and I just couldn't be happier with that. Now, I did have some issues with my feet getting wet and getting kind of spongy. After Tim, I think it was after the third loop, I went ahead and switched into fresh socks and fresh shoes, which I was so thankful that I had that plastic bag to keep my gear bag wet, because the rain had really started to come down in some areas at some points in time, and you know, everything got soaked. I had standing water in my chair, just to kind of give you an idea of how much water came down or how much it was raining. It changed into a dry shirt at one point, which was very nice, and powdered my feet really good and dried them before I put the shoes and socks back on. But in hindsight, what I should have done was actually dried them out a little bit more with the towel before I put powder on them and put the socks back on. Now, it was a chip race. It was not a disposable one. It was the kind that you clip to your shoe and you got to give it back at the end of the race. And I had tried to clip it on with the little zip ties that they had provided, but the first one broke, and then I didn't feel comfortable zipping it on with just one of the little flimsy one that was left over. So I went in my, I brought, and they didn't have safety pins either for the race bibs, so I had to go into my bag of tricks and pick out a zip tie and some safety pins, and so I zip tied my own chip onto my shoe. Now, this is kind of funny. When I was switching up shoes, I just kind of thought that somebody, I would be able to kind of pull it off and put it on my other shoe. I wasn't able to get it off. So what I did, and at the suggestion of some guy that was working the finish line area, he said, well, just put your shoe next to the course, and when you come in for your final loop, just pick up your shoe and cross over the chip mask with your shoe in your hand. So that's what I did, and I haven't checked the website to see if my time was officially recorded, but I'm pretty sure it is. I heard the thing beep, and I was telling the guy at the finish that, you know, what I had to do, and so that was kind of funny. So I actually crossed the finish line with three shoes, two on my feet and one in my hand, and the one in my hand had the chip on it, so that was pretty funny. Let me talk about fueling a little bit. I used the Succeed Amino powder drink the whole day. Pretty much drank a 16-ounce bottle each hour, each loop. Took water at some of the aid stations, some Gatorade here and there, although the Gatorade that they were given was like that G-Series stuff that tasted different than regular Gatorade. Took in S-caps about every 45 minutes because I was sweating a lot. I took in a goo at one point. I drank a boost. And I had fueled up that morning with... Oh, and I took a hard-boiled egg. So, Dirt Dog, if you're listening to the show, you and I had emailed each other about some fueling options. And I had told you that I was going to experiment with hard-boiled eggs. What I did was I had two bananas... I had a banana and a hard-boiled egg, and then when I got to the race, I had another banana, I had some yogurt that I got down in the lobby at the hotel, and then after the first hour is when I had the other hard-boiled egg that I had brought from home. And that seemed to work pretty good, because after the first loop, I had that hungry feeling, and I knew that a hard-boiled egg was real dense, and I just knew that it would sit in my stomach, and I could just kind of feed off of it for a while. It would give me some energy. And it seemed to work out pretty good. What I regret doing was not fueling more towards the end, which was the whole point. And I don't know why I did not do more of this. The whole point of running that 50K was to prepare myself for when it was over that I could keep going, which is obviously what I'm going to have to do in the 100K. So I didn't fuel anymore towards the end because I knew that the end was near, and they had bananas at some of the aid stations, and they just looked kind of green, and that just didn't look too appetizing. And frankly, I never really saw any other food. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the aid stations because it seemed like all they had was liquid. The one at the start finish, I remember seeing some cookies in a tray, but I don't really ever remember seeing any other substantial food. And I'm not saying it wasn't there, I'm just saying I don't remember seeing it. But what I typically do is I bring all my own stuff because you just don't ever know what kind of situation you're going to get in. At least that's been my experience. And you just don't ever know how... It's, to me, I've just decided that it's good that I have my snack bars, peanut bars, my own goose, just in case it's needed, in case the stuff that the race or people take it or it gets lost or, you know, stuff never makes it to the race or whatever. I've always felt comfortable bringing my own stuff. And so the boost worked out pretty good. That's just an energy drink that's not really geared for endurance running, but it's liquid calories and it's high in carbs, and the liquid calories definitely absorb quicker than any, you know, any calories out of food. At least that's what I've read and heard on other podcasts from nutritionists and whatnot. So the fueling worked pretty good. So what I would probably do is definitely stick to the hard-boiled eggs, and I could probably take in one or two more when I do the 100K, so I'm going to have to make sure I bring some down there. And, you know, some people out there listening to the show might think, oh, that's really gross. But they got protein, they give me energy, and it satisfies that hungry feeling that I have sometimes when I'm out running for a couple hours. And the whole point is to eat before, you know, eat before you're hungry, so you don't have to react as much. You can, you know, get the fuel in you so you can burn it before you deplete yourself and start feeling really bad. I never hit a wall. I never had any kind of mental issues where I didn't think I was going to make it. That was probably, I would think, probably my most efficient ultra that I've ever run before. I just kept motoring forward, stuck to a strategy. Of course, it helped to have Tim come in there and keep me company and keep my mind off of you know, the inner thoughts, because we literally talked the whole time. Yeah, I learned about that ultra that he wants to put on. He told me a lot about different ultras that are in North Carolina. He talked about it, some of endurance. I mean, we just talked about all kinds of stuff. And before you knew it, you know, 15 miles were up. So I call those the lost miles. And I think you really know that you're running efficiently when you're not thinking about the passing of the time. And I tell you that walking of the walking for a tenth of a mile after every mile, Tim said it seemed to help him keep his distance out, because he wasn't prepared to run that far, and yet he was able to do it. And he said he usually runs at a faster pace, so obviously he was, you know, running at my pace. But he seemed to like that, and you know, really worked well for me. So overall, a real good experience. The direction of the race was pretty good. I don't know what place I came in yet. When I left, I saw that they had posted the first 25, and the person that came in 25th place had posted a 5:15, 5 hours 15 minutes finishing time, and of course mine was around 5:40. So I obviously didn't make the top 25, but I'm not really sure how many signed up altogether. I would say there was maybe close to 50 or 60 people at the start, maybe more. I don't know how many ran the 10K. I'm guessing there might have been, well, you know, let's see, if there was 25, and I know there were several people after me, I'm guessing there's probably 40 people that ran the 50K, and there must have been more people at the start. I didn't make a count. Because I started towards the back, since it was a chip, I didn't get up. They were kind of calling all the 10K people up to the front, I think. I'm not really sure what was going on there. But everybody had a chip, so it didn't really matter when you cross the line. So I'll be curious to see actually what my finishing time is. It's likely it could be 5:39. Matter of fact, I guess it all depends on where my chip. I don't think I don't think it would have lost 52 seconds, but I don't know. We'll see. I have to look up the finishing times when I get home. So that's about it on the 50K. Marathon number 19. Number 20 is coming up on March 10th. And what a way to celebrate running your 20th marathon by running the longest one ever. So met some people down there on the way. Ran with a guy named John for a little while. This is all before I saw Tim. I met a guy named Josh at the starting line. Ran with him for a little bit. John was, it was his first 50K, and he was just trying to maintain a 10-minute mile. So I ran with him for a while before I just had to peel off. And then Josh has some plans to run 100-miler someday. And he's an active duty Army, and he's, can't remember where he said he's from, but he says he's done several ultras and really likes it. And so, you know, overall it's pretty cool. When I, my friend Rob that lives down in the south part of Charlotte, he met me at the finish, and we went over and got a little bite to eat and got a beer, and then I followed him down to his house, which was about a 40-minute drive. To visit with his family. He and I are fraternity brothers from college, and I'm actually one of his son's godfather for his baptism. So, we're, you know, close families. They call me Uncle Dave. It's kind of cool, even though we're not related, but they just kind of always called me that. So we visited down there, or I did, and Rob and I went out to eat, and I ate a whole pizza that evening. And a couple of adult beverages to rehydrate. and woke up this morning, felt fine. We had breakfast, and then I hit the road. Interesting thing about riding home today is obviously the Super Bowl's tonight. And so I've been listening before I decided to podcast here from the car. Okay, now I'm crossing into Virginia. I've been listening to all the Super Bowl coverage, and it's just the same stuff being rehashed over and over and over. It's just funny to hear these guys come up with more and more stuff to talk about all day long. I just couldn't imagine having to talk all day long on the radio. It's sometimes hard enough just to come up with 30 minutes of material for the podcast. So, my training for this week is... not sure. Today is the first Sunday that I have not run. This is the first weekend I haven't done double long runs in, I think, at least 10 weeks or more. I'm in week 19 of my program. It's a 26-week program, and I started at week 9. So week 19 was the 50K. I think it's a 26-week program. Whatever this week to... No, it can't be 26 weeks because... the 100K is not 6-7 weeks away. I don't know. I can't do public math. I just never could. So I'm not even sure what my mileage is for this week, but I know next weekend I think is a fallback week, maybe a 14 and a 10, and then the week after that I think I've got one more. I think I've got a 25 miler in there somewhere, and then that will be it. That will be the longest run. I have to double-check that. Haven't even looked at my training for this week, but I'll get right back into it. I'm a little sore today, but I think that I'll just pick it up where I went. Now, I know I said that's about all I had to say about the 50K, but here's why I think I did as well as I did. And I'm not even going to go into the whole bronchitis thing. I coughed some during the race, but that wasn't an issue whatsoever. I think it was the high mileage training. I'm convinced of that. Why I was able to do that type of finishing time. So part of me wonders if I was to do the same high mileage training, and I was able, if I could get my marathon time, because I still ran a 4:46 marathon, and I was just still moving along. I wonder if maybe that's just what I run now. I don't know. I'm just kind of analyzing out loud. I know it's not making a whole lot of sense. Well, it's starting to kind of pour down rain. I think I'm going to have to put down the podcast meter here. So what we'll do is we'll check out the email bag section of the show and see who wrote in. I've got some overdue emails because the show wasn't able to get a show out for being sick all week. And we just had a couple of two busy weeks at work with just crazy incidents going on. And just haven't been in that mindset to get the podcast out. But don't worry, if you're a regular listener, I'm still going to be doing the show. And it looks like my listenership has actually dropped down a little bit. I was kind of analyzing the downloads on Podbean. And it looks like I'm dropping down to under 500 downloads a week. The reason I say that is because I want to extend a special appreciation and thanks to all the regular listeners out there that have kind of stuck with the show over the years. I think this is my third year doing the show. I still like it. It's kept me motivated. And hopefully I still bring interesting material from time to time. You know what? I just forgot that I need to talk about my running philosophy before we get into the email back section of the show. So let me grab my notes on my running philosophy because I remember in the last show I said I was going to talk about it. All right, if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me say my sign-off at the end, run to the finish and keep on running. And I don't know if I've really ever explained that to everybody that listens to the show, so I'm going to attempt to do that right now. And it's not a real long philosophy. That works for me. And here's how it works. To make a long story short, or make a long story longer, depending on your perspective, I've always been a runner. I've gotten away from it. I remember in elementary school, I liked running. When I went to middle school, I did cross country for 2 years. One of those years, I qualified for the countywide meet. I did not place in that meet. But I was able to go to it. I was never really had any real talent in running. My talent was in soccer. I once I discovered soccer, that's pretty much all I did. And I actually did not get back into running until after, well, I ran some in college just recreationally because I played soccer. Then I played soccer after college. And then it got to a point where soccer was making me too sore. And I could not get in and out of a car because the job that I had at the time, I had to get in and out of a car several times a day, you know, to do different things. And I would be sore from playing soccer on Sunday. I'd be sore all the way to Wednesday. And it was just, it was crazy. And I was afraid I'd get hurt and maybe couldn't go to work. So I gave that up. And I think I did the Monument Avenue 10K. A friend of mine named Rob, actually the same guy I went down to visit in Charlotte, he trained and ran the Monument Avenue 10K, and I just remember being really impressed because he was a smoker, and he trained, ran the race, continued to smoke the whole time. It was just kind of funny, and I just thought, man, if this guy can be a smoker and run the Monument Avenue 10K, which has turned into one of the biggest 10K races in the country now, I can definitely do that. So I signed up for the, and this was after my dad ran the Richmond Marathon in 2005, which inspired me to get back into running. Well, I signed up for the small thing first, Monument Avenue 10K, which training team, which started in, I think, in January of 2006. I signed up for that, ran that, looked for something else, found the half marathon training team, signed up, ran that. And that was the Battlefield Half Marathon back in 2006. And then while I was training for that, I met some people that were interested in doing a grassroots training program for the Fall Richmond Marathon. And that was I had not really thought about that at that point. But I thought, well, you know, I can always, you know, stop if it's too much. So I ended up training for that and running that with a group of folks, and obviously made lots of new friends that I continue to, you know, still run with today. Now, that's me running to the finish and keeping on running. You know, run to the finish line, find a new goal, run to that finish line, find a new goal, run to that finish line. What run to the finish and keep on running means to me is that I want to keep doing this type of activity as long as it's fun. And as long as I'm having fun doing it, then I want to keep doing it and find new events and new challenges. And here I am. I've gotten to the point where I've run 19 marathons. 7 of those are ultras. I'm 42 years old. Never in a million years when I was 30 that I think I would be doing this type of stuff and, you know, driving 5 hours to go run 31 miles. And just the intrinsic reward of setting out on a goal, something that's physically difficult, and then achieving it is just hard to, you know, put into words. I mean, you get a medal at the finish line, but really the battle is won when you're out in training. It's and you go out and do that second long run on a Sunday after you exhaust yourself the day before, just so you can teach your body to run on exhausted legs and get the brain, your brain, to be mentally disciplined to cover the distance again, because you know on the day of your event you're going to have to do it all, and you got to keep it together. So run to the finish and keep on running means to me is to just don't stop. You know, don't just sign up, do a couch to 5K and do the 5K and stop and say, okay, well, I've done it, I don't have to do anything anymore. Run to the finish and keep on running, what that means to me is that do the couch to 5K and keep on running and do something else if you enjoyed it, or do some other activity, do something physically active, do something that will keep your heart healthy, so when you're older you can play with your grandkids and you don't get winded and you don't have to sit in a chair like some old people do, or can't even get up out of a chair. So you can enjoy some of those years in later life, and so you don't burn down the rest of us with your medical problems. So, who knows? Anyway, that's my philosophy. It's kind of short and to the point. It works for me. I just kind of came up with that when I came up with the podcast. I didn't copy it from anywhere, and I've never heard anybody else say it, so I think it is original. So anyway, if you've ever wondered about that and you listen to the show, that's basically what it means. All right, well, let's move on over to the email bag section of the show and get to some of these overdue emails. All right, let's get to the email bag section of the show, which is always interesting. And what I've done this week is I've taken all the emails and put them into a document that I printed off
And unfortunately, some of the print is really small, so it's hard for me to see. But flip on the light here and see what I can come up with. I heard from Rich out of the Woodlands, Texas, and he says he hasn't written in a while. Rich is one of my original listeners, and I really appreciate that, Rich. Rich is going to be doing the Texas Independence Relay again this year. He missed last year due to a conflict, but he's going to be doing it this year for the fourth time. That's at the end of March. And also on March 3rd, he's going to be doing the Woodlands Marathon down in the Woodlands, Texas. So well done, Rich. Hope your training goes well. And I get along real good with Rich because he likes the run-walk method just like I do. So thanks for listening to the show, Rich. Always good to hear from you. I also heard from Matthew, who's a new listener out of Auckland, New Zealand. And he found out about the show through Dirt Dogs podcast over at Dirt Dogs Running Diatribe. And he says he wants to stand up and be counted. So he's catching up on some old episodes. And looks like he's going to be training for his first marathon in late 2012, early 2013. And he's got several off-road half marathons planned this year, and then he wants to get to the marathon distance in late this year, which is tough to do with full-time work and running, training, and kids. And Matthew, I certainly know how you feel. Just this evening, obviously I do the email bag session of the show, I do the show in segments. I had a real hard time squeezing in just 4 miles this evening just because of family stuff, so I definitely know how you feel. Anyway, I hope you continue to listen to the show and really appreciate you writing in. The rest of you out there, you can write in at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I also heard from Tim over at abueloruns.com. That's, let's see if I can spell it right. It's A-B-U-E-L-O. runs.com, and he did the Goofy Challenge down in Walt Disney. So he did the half marathon on Saturday, full marathon on Sunday, and what you end up there is you end up with 3 medals. You get the you get the Donald Duck and you get the Goofy medal for doing both runs. I don't know what you get for doing the half and the full. I guess you get the Donald Duck and the Tweety Bird or something, I don't know, or the Mickey Mouse medal, I'm not really sure, but way to go on that, Tim. Good job. And also, if you go to his website, you can find out more about the Choo Choo Loco, which is a run that he is doing down in Chattanooga, Tennessee on Saturday, April 28th. And he invited me down there for that. Unfortunately, I will not be able to do that. That's the week after the railroad run that I'm race directing again this year. And that I've kind of promised my wife that after the railroad run, we're going to have free Saturdays with no running and no activities for a little while. But it's not an entry fee. It looks like it's, approximately 15-mile social run that starts and finishes in the downtown Chattanooga area at Ross Landing. And looks like there'll be a short break in the middle for some refreshment. And he's expecting it to take about 3 to 4 hours, including the mid-run break. Starting about 10 o'clock and finishing at 2. So if you're interested in that, you live in that area, definitely check in with Tim over at abueloruns.com. That's A-B-U-E-L-O runs.com. And check out the Choo Choo Loco and join up with him if you can. Also heard from Sandy. And Sandy was, this is way overdue on Sandy's email. Sandy, I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you. You know how it goes. Sandy's is retired, and she has got a couple of ultras planned for this year, as well as going to go to the Hallucination 100 and try that again. She did the Huff 50K, which is, I was going to try to get some of the pictures to that race on my website at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and maybe I'll still give it a try because it shows runners running through a flooded trail, you know, like water up to their knees. The reason I think that is so interesting is because she ran that 50K. And looks like she did the New Year's Day Get Over Your Hangover run, which was a 26.2-ish fat ass. And then she did, she's actually training, she signed up for the Laurel Highlands Ultra, which is 70 miles in Pennsylvania, which is for June. And then in September is the, it's the run Woodstock. Isn't that the Hallucination 100, Sandy? So she's going to be doing that again this year. And I think last year she did not quite finish it. So she'll be going for another finish this year. So good to hear from you, Sandy. And all the best on your retirement. That's just wonderful news. Heard from Christina out of Arizona, and she said that she checked in. She said she was sitting in traffic on a stop freeway listening to the podcast, and she had a question. She wanted to know if the drivers, if they see something in the road, they veer towards subconsciously. What were my thoughts on that? I think they do. I, in some ways, it's good to have a blinking light if you're running on the side of the road, and in some ways, I guess it's not if you're dealing with a drunk driver, because they'll probably try to drive right over and hit you. So you definitely got to be alert. She is going to be. She did the Florida Keys Ragnar Relay. They started in Miami, ran all the way to Key West, and she liked Key West a lot. And so, yeah, I bet you got pretty familiar with Route 1, like I did when I was down there. Running through the Keys is an interesting experience, and I guess. Was it hot down there when you did it, Christina? I guess it would be. I guess it's hot down there in the winter, too. Anyway, thanks for checking in. Really appreciate it. Also heard from Tom, and I regret to say that I did not try to connect with you at the Charlotte Ultra Run. I completely forgot that you were down there until I got back, and I was going through the emails, and I realized that you had left a comment on the website at ashlanddavid.podbean.com saying that you're going to be down there. You ran an incredible 5:26 at the Charlotte Ultra Run, and so I was just about 15 minutes behind you. So I know I passed you, and I have a feeling I think I might know who you were. Send me an email at ashlanddavid@gmail.com. Were you running with another guy, and did y'all run together for the whole race? Because I remember you're older than me. I mean, I could tell from the race results. And I remember there was two guys that looked like they were around your age that passed me. And then I think I have an idea of who you might be. So let me know if that was you. And I'm really sorry I did not make the connection while we were down there. I did with Tim from Ultra Quest because I met up with him. But I completely forgot that you were down there. You know, when I got there that morning, I'm like every other runner, just focused on my own thing. Running is really such a selfish thing. So my apologies, and I hope that our paths will cross again sometime. And that was it. Tom left a comment at the website at ashlanddavid.podbean.com. He said he found out about podcast listening to Dirt Dog, and he's done the Mountain Masochist a couple times. So he really appreciated that support. So that's it for the show for this week. I really appreciate you listening to the show. The reason the show was out much later than normal this time, usually I get it out every 2 weeks, every 10 days to every 2 weeks, is because I had bronchitis and just felt awful. And, you know, things kept coming up, and sometimes it's hard to sit down in front of the computer when you're kind of on a up top end of your biorhythms and do a recording segment. That's just the way it is with an amateur podcast. That's the way it is. Okay, well, once again, I'm race directing the Ashland Railroad Run 10K this year, second year in a row. It's the 34th running of the race, and I'll be putting together a little audio commercial with my daughter here soon. We'll tack that on to the end of the show in the next couple shows probably, and I'll be talking a lot about race director duties here and there. Last year was the first year that I directed it. Of course, I've been involved with it, for several years. And this is likely going to be the last year that I'll direct it, because I'm going to be rotating off of the Hanover Arts and Activity Center board. And I don't know if I might be asked to come back and do it again next year. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if it's something that I want to do again. Not because I don't like it, just because it is an unbelievable amount of work if you've ever directed a race. And our race is about 600 to 700 participants, so it's a pretty decent size. Oh, well, this is Ashland Dave, and I am running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Have a good week. Don't forget to hug your kids, and I will be out with another show in 10 days to 2 weeks. So make sure you come on back. Y'all have a good one.